Hey, it's John Canzano. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. And thanks to all the listeners and all of our sponsors who help make the Bald-Faced Truth the number one sports radio show in Portland. Enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Something is about to happen.
BFT.
Now listen up, everyone.
Let's go. The Bald-Faced Truth.
John Canzano.
I gotta say, I love him most of the time. I think he's right on.
He's okay.
John's great.
He's a little unusual.
Live every afternoon, 12 to 3 p.m.
I hate that guy because he just never knows what he's talking about.
I think he does a damn good job.
That's my dude, man. Yeah, I know him, man. I let my mother listen to him.
Now, from the Pac West Center in downtown Portland, here's John Canzano with a Bald-Faced Truth.
This portion of the Bald-Faced Truth is brought to you by High Caliber Millwrights. Need a machinery job done right? Call High Caliber today.
Thank you, Alabama Adriana, for that read. We've got Joseph McRae, who is a ex-San Diego Chargers fan, who's coming on the show. Sam in Salem has been holding, too. He wanted to tell us something about yesterday's interview with Mike Leach. Sam, what's up, man?
Okay, so I got two things for you. One about the Pac-12 network, but I got a great Mike Leach story. So thanks for holding me over. So I'm a Duck fan, and it's the day after the national championship game. We just lost to Auburn. I'm at Sky Harbor in Phoenix. I'm heading home, and I'm waiting. I look over in this little store, and I see Mike Leach. And I'm thinking, okay, I'll approach him. So I walk up to him and I said, hey, coach, not really a Texas Tech fan, but I respect what you did down there and knowing the parties involved. It sounds to me like you kind of got a raw deal, and I hope you get another chance at coaching. And he put his hand right on my shoulder, looked me squarely in the eye, and said, with much sincerity, how much he appreciated me approaching him and mentioning that to him, and went on to say about how great of a team we had and how much he appreciated the Ducks and Chip Kelly, and it was a great moment.
Yeah, you know what? I find him to be candid, authentic. Some people don't like him. I like Mike Leach. I think he's a smart guy, and I think he can talk about more things than just football. I want to talk about more than football, too, with our next guest, Joseph McRae. He's getting called the San Diego sign guy because he's done something interesting. He's angry. He's angry about the Chargers leaving San Diego. I know a lot of people who are angry. There's a police officer in my neighborhood who is angry about it. He grew up in San Diego, and he refuses to watch the Charger games. I'm bringing on Joseph McRae now. Joseph, welcome to the show. Thanks for making time for us.
Of course, man. It's a pleasure.
Now, give us an idea of, like, how big of a fan are you when it comes to the Chargers, or were you?
Oh man. Season ticket holder for 15 years. Haven't missed a game in 25 years. I could name you the starting lineup, or the starting offensive line for the 2006 Chargers when LT won the MVP. I could tell you about the 2001 team that won one game. I mean, I'm a diehard fan. Diehard as you get.
When it turns out that, you know, the Chargers are a threat to leave San Diego, you must be pretty worried at that point.
Well, I mean, it's just about where they're going. It's to Los Angeles now. People that are not, you know, living San Diego, that are not aware, but San Diego and Los Angeles, we grew up hating each other's sports teams. That's how it is, you know. Out there, I'm sure you know how it is if you have a rival. But basically, I grew up to hate Silver and Black, the Raiders in Los Angeles, and I grew up to hate Dodger Blue. That's what I was accustomed to. Now you're telling me that the team that I love so much, more than the Padres, is going to move to Los Angeles and be a part of the L.A. sports? I mean, it killed me. It really did. It killed me.
You've been a fan your whole life, and this team gets taken away. So at that point, a lot of Charger fans go, okay, you know, I'll root for them anyway, or I'll find another team to root for. You've gone further. You also launched a GoFundMe campaign. How did the GoFundMe campaign go?
Well, it was going it went well. We hit our goal. We hit $10,000. We hit our goal about a couple weeks ago, and it was to get a billboard up in Los Angeles to have basically anti-NFL billboards, anti-Dean Spanos. I mean, the NFL also allowed them to move, in a sense. So yeah. I definitely believe that there is blame to go along for everybody.
That's the news today. The news, the headline is that a disgruntled fan has bought anti-NFL billboards for the Chargers homestand. How many billboards did you buy, and what will they say?
Well, okay, so my goal was to get 3, but then I was told by the billboard company in Los Angeles that I've been working with, who are also not a big fans of the Chargers owner, Dean Spanos, they told me that billboards along, because the StubHub Center is located in Carson, the biggest freeway next to the StubHub Center is the 405 South, so that was my target the whole time. 405 South is one of the busiest intersections in Los Angeles. And they told me that the Chargers and the NFL were starting to purchase billboards. So I had enough money to purchase one digital billboard on the 405 South right before you exit to get to the stadium. And I have 5 images because it's a digital billboard. Now, I put them up on Twitter. There are 5 images. 3 of them are at Dean Spanos, and 2 of them are at the commissioner, Roger Goodell. If you watch the Patriots in the Chiefs game last week, you saw the clown noses that a bunch of fans made. Well, I took that logo, I put it on the billboard, and if you know how the NFL is with this whole football is family down your throat, well, if football was family, then you relocated 3 teams in 1 year. So, again, you're telling me football is family? So I took their slogan, I took football is family, and I crossed out the family with dollar signs. And then I put San Diego, Oakland, and St. Louis because we're all victims of losing our teams.
Our guest is Joseph McRae, former Chargers fan. I say former because they leave San Diego, and he has been left in the cold without an NFL team there. If I'm the Chargers, I would have reached out to you really early, Joseph, and I would have said, look, here are the realities of it. Try to bring you into the fold. Try to help you and some other Charger fans in San Diego understand, because I think they're going to need you guys to travel and go to games.
Well, you know, that's the thing. You would think this, but we're not dealing with an ordinary owner in the NFL. We're talking about Dean Spanos, the man who let Rodney Harrison walk away, the man who let Junior Seau be traded, allowed to be traded, the man who released LaDainian Tomlinson, the man that allowed Marty Schottenheimer to be fired after going 14-2. So we're talking about an owner who doesn't really know what he's doing, first off, right? And second off, for me, it's just the way they've handled this move. Now, I have been following this like crazy. I mean, we've been talking relocation here for about 5 years. I follow it religiously. I was doing my part. I went on, knocked around doors, talked about the stadium initiative that's going on. And, you know, in this time, after they moved, you know, the Chargers haven't done anything here in San Diego to apologize or to do anything whatsoever to keep us on track. Like Mark Davis, when he's relocating the team to Vegas, you know what he did that night? He went down to Oakland and he had an open forum meeting and talked for about 3 hours with Oakland fans who were pissed, who were mad at him. He took it like a man. He did the right thing by reaching out to his fans and saying, I understand your frustration. Come talk to me. We're Raider fans at the end of the day. You know what Dean Spanos did? He sent a letter and left. He sent a lousy letter, like 3 paragraphs, says, hope you understand. Bye. Nothing at all that was remotely sincere. It's one thing if you handle it like Dean Spanos, but then you see Mark Davis handle it like a true businessman and also just a reasonable human being.
You went to the news conference or the rally that they held in Los Angeles at the Forum in Inglewood, and this kickoff rally, Spanos shows up, and I love this. You show up and heckle him. And how did that go down, and what made you decide to do that?
Well, again, I have been a fan my whole life, and the way that he left San Diego was disgraceful. And then also his son goes on public radio making fun of the Qualcomm Stadium and saying how StubHub Center is going to be such a better fan experience. after his son said that, I was like, okay, how can I get back at these guys? So they had a pep rally. I was a season ticket holder, so I did receive an email inviting me to it. But by the time I RSVP'd to it, it was too late. They said it was full, and I knew that they're not popular in Los Angeles. There's no way this forum, this pep rally, can be full of hundreds of Charger fans. There's no way. So I drove to Los Angeles. I got in somehow, some way. I got to the front, and when I was there, no one was there. I would say there's about 150 people that were there, and it was so crazy for me because these fans in Los Angeles, they were chanting L.A. Chargers and clapping, and this is all new to me. You know, I'm not used to hearing this, so it was so weird being there.
Did they escort you out? Did the police come and escort you out?
I got escorted out by security after. See, what I did is I waited the whole time. The commissioner talked, one of the Rams guys talked, a bunch of suck-up L.A. media, Dean Spanos people talked. And then once Dean Spanos talked, that's when I heckled him. That's when I was going after him. And there's one funny thing about this is that Dean Spanos, when everyone came up to the podium to speak for about a minute or 2 minutes, they all spoke from the heart. Easy words to say. This is not a crazy, you know, you should be able to just talk in front of your fans. Well, Dean Spanos went up with note cards, and he had to read with note cards, which was embarrassing. And so as he was reading, I heckled him, and he stuttered on his words, and he kind of got a little shooken up by it.
Yeah, he's not used to that.
Media,
yeah,
he's not. He, the one thing I realize about living in San Diego, Dean Spanos does not like public criticism. He hates it. He hates being the center of attention. But he's an NFL owner. He's a public figure in California. It's just you're up for this. And so
did he block you on Twitter? Did he block you?
His son, John Dean Spanos, blocked me on Twitter. And you know what's funny is that he's actually blocked about like 100 of us, like diehard Charter fans.
Yeah.
He's blocked so many people on Twitter, but then again, they won't say anything about San Diego. So how does that look? You know, you block us on Twitter.
All right.
You don't mention us, you know?
All right. Quickly, who will you root for this season? Do you have a team? Can you sit out a football season, or is it just, hey, nobody anymore?
Oh, man. I've been thinking about this for a long time. And when I watched the Chargers lose the Broncos, I felt no feeling. I felt nothing at all. When they scored the first touchdown, I was like, I don't even care. When they blocked the field goal, I didn't care. Usually I'd be biting my nails, walking up and down, screaming, being so nervous that I wasn't. So I will root for any team that plays against the Chargers.
It's like you just saw your ex-girlfriend and you didn't care. That tells you something, you know, Joseph. All right, I appreciate your time. That's Joseph McRae. Check him out. Check out what he's doing with the Chargers. Thank him for coming on the show. Punch It Audio is next.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth headquarters.
Hey, we're all about truth, justice, and the American way here, okay? Which is why we've spanned the globe and pulled the top audio cuts of the day.
You're going to hear little snippets of sound.
Hey, it's time for Punch It Audio.
All right, we take a trip around the world of sports. It'll include ducks and beavers and everything in between. But we start in Cleveland, where the Cleveland Indians have now won 21 straight games. Punch it.
Ian Kinsler at the plate, 0 for 4 on the afternoon. Swings at the first pitch and a line drive to left field. Caught by Lonnie Chisenhall. It's over. 21 in a row. The Cleveland Indians have set a new record for the longest win streak in American League history.
There it is, Cleveland's 21st, 29,346, standing and stomping at the end of this game. As Cody Allen got his 27th save. You heard it there. Indians, by the way, in this streak, have rarely been tied for nine innings. They've rarely even been in a tie. Their starters are 19-0 with a 1.70 ERA. They've outscored their opponents 139-35. And guess how many innings they've trailed in? In 189 innings, they've trailed in only four innings during that streak. Cleveland Indians now chasing the New York Giants' major league record of 26 straight. LeVar Ball talking. He says the Lakers are going to ball from day one. Here's LeVar. Punch it.
No, this ain't no warm-up year. We finna ball straight from day one. It's good
really
if you
got
get
everyone in LA like
what do you mean really? By ball though? Like I'm talking, you're gonna be like you're gonna be a real contender.
Everyone in LA is having a party.
You guys can't even stand how good he's gonna be. This is easy for him. This is 100% in. He don't have to go to school. He get to practice all day. I'm gonna tell you, it's gonna be an easy, fun season for him. He get to play with the best athletes he's ever played.
What's your definition of easy? Well, you talk about the definition of successful. I'm just saying, I understand that you believe in your son. Your son can ball. His vision is just an intelligent basketball player. He looks like he's gonna be special. Fair enough. What the Lakers gonna do this year, man?
50 plus wins.
You must be. What? What did you just? What did you just say?
Wait,
have you?
He can fit 50 out of 80 games.
I'm going to get somebody to drug test you. I'm going to get somebody to drug test you. You must be crazy.
But you know what?
You must be crazy.
LeVar Ball predicting 50 wins for the Lakers. Vegas says 36.5. You like the over? LeVar does. Let's go to the Pac-12. Mike Leach talking about women coaching. Here's Washington State's coach. Punch it.
You know, I don't think that all of a sudden there's going to be more women's coaches than men's coaches. There's more men coaching female sports than females, per se. But I think that, you know, no matter what sport you are, you're looking for quality coaches. And if somebody's a quality coach and truly dedicated, and then that's, you know, their passion, the sport they study, and that type of thing, then, you know, I think it's like any skill. You learn and you study it and you develop your skills at it.
Here's the bottom line. As long as the person, male or female, knows what they're talking about, knows what they're doing, I don't think guys that are playing football are going to care if it's man, woman, tall, short. Think about it. Leach is a guy who did not play football. He's a lawyer. Dennis Franchione never played. Charlie Weiss didn't play. Lou Holtz didn't play. They knew. Yeah, the hardest thing about it is that women don't grow up generally playing the sport. But in my opinion, to me, it's not about gender here. It's about, hey, do you know what you're talking about? And I think we will see a woman coaching a team, a major college football team. They say 2027. They say 10 years from now. Could that happen? I would vote yes. Put me among the yeses in the next 10 years. Ryan Nall, Oregon State running back, looking in the rearview mirror at the Minnesota game. How'd you play? Punch it.
You know, we didn't necessarily execute as a team. I think that's the best way to sum it up. We turned the ball over on offense, which led to touchdowns for them, and that's just defeating to see as a group. You know, as far as my personal play, you know, I try to give my all at all times, and even though I'm not necessarily in the entire time, I'll be on the sideline and be the best cheerleader there is.
We need more of Ryan Nall. Oregon State needs more of Ryan Nall for them to be successful. When things are going right, this is Ryan Nall's team. The problem has been that Oregon State's identity has been a muddled mess on offense, and their identity on defense is soft. It's not good. It's not a good combination. We don't know who they are. Are they trying to throw the ball? Are they a smash-mouth team? We don't know who they are, and we're already now looking at, hey, you're going to play your fourth game of the year. That's a problem. You're a quarter of the way through your season after this week? And we still don't know your identity. That's bad. Willie Taggart, Oregon Ducks coach. They have a WWE championship belt that they give out for their special teams player of the week. Why do they do that? Coach Taggart, punch it.
It's a belt that our guys have. Coach Woody got in special team, and the special team player of the week get to wear the belt. You know, it's something those guys take pride in. We call the special team the pack, and they take pride in being in the pack. And the guy that gets the player of the week get to walk around with a championship belt is pretty neat. It's a pretty heavy belt, too. So it's pretty cool.
By the way, outfielder Josh Reddick's Reddick with the Astros. He did it, too. He bought a belt when he was at the Red Sox, the A's, the Dodgers. He got custom belts made, and he gave it away to the player of the game in the locker room. Alabama has a wrestling title belt on the sideline. You know this radio show has a title belt? Yeah. We used to, back in the day, have a title belt that we would give out. I think Stephanie Strickland, television anchors, got the belt at her house. She called me one day and she's like, I got this wrestling belt of yours. Do you want it back? And I was like, yes, drop it off, please. But I noticed during the Alabama-Clemson game, the national title game, that there was a belt on the sideline that was making rounds. I like the idea of a belt. You should have a championship belt in your household. Like, I grew up, we had a thing, we had a plate, a dinner plate, that was a bright red plate when I was a kid. And it went to whoever in the household had done something remarkable that day or had something special. Like, if it's your birthday, you get the plate, you get the special plate. If you gotten good grades, you got a special plate. If, like, my brother had not, you know, he went to class, he got a good report from his teacher, he got the special plate. It was a reward in our household. We passed it around. It wasn't, I would have much rather had a WWE belt to wear, like paraded around the household, run down the hallway with it. I have carried that tradition forward at our house today. We have a plate that we pass around. I'm not sure the kids get it. Some of them are too young. But, you know, mainly it turns into somebody being honored for whatever. You should have something like that in your household. We should have something like that at this show. Generally, in an office like this, a fork would be reward enough. Because, like, there's a shortage of forks if you go to eat something. I saw Alabama Adriana, not lying, eating like she was a character on Game of Thrones, eating a salad with her hands. It was enough to go, you know, if we had a fork. Brandon, I think we need a special fork. Hey, you've had a good day. You get the fork today.
Just carry that around solely.
That's it. A bell, a fork, something like that. Willie Taggart also talking about the night before a road kickoff. They're at Wyoming on Saturday. What will they do the night before the game? Punch it.
The night before, they watch a movie together, and then they go to bed. You know, we'll eat dinner, they watch a movie, and then they go to bed, and game day, we'll meet, walk through, and get ready for the game.
Now, what movie is that going to be? Can we have suggestions for the movie? If you are a Duck fan, tweet at me, at John Canzano BFT. Give me your suggestions for the movie. What should Oregon be watching the night before the game? I like Braveheart. I always do, and I always play this cut, but I like Braveheart as a movie, like night before game, Shawshank Redemption, night before game. Got to have a little motivation. Got to fire me up. A little Rudy. Maybe I'm too old. But that's kind of where I would go. I'd go with, like, the Braveheart theme, Mel Gibson.
Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Can you imagine, like, Royce Freeman running through the hallways of the team hotel after hearing that, seeing that? Coach Carter would be a good one. Remember the Titans would be a good one. What else you got for the for Willie Taggart? Let's help him out. You can tweet at me at John Canzano BFT with your motivational movies. Moving on, we had a guest on the show earlier today, just a few minutes ago, Joseph McRae. Joseph McRae is interesting. He's a fan. He's a former Chargers fan who's angry about the Chargers leaving San Diego. Punch it.
Oh, man, I've been thinking about this for a long time, and when I watched the Chargers lose the Broncos, I felt no feeling. I felt nothing at all. When they scored the first touchdown, I was like, I don't even care. When they blocked the field goal, I didn't care. Usually I'd be biting my nails, walking up and down, screaming, being so nervous that I wasn't. So I will root for any team that plays against the Chargers.
All right, so now he's saying that he feels apathy when it comes to his team. He's angry. He's gone to the news conference and flipped off the owner of the Chargers. He's bought billboards, raised $10,000 to buy billboards. Help me out with this. Is this a fan who's gone too far and crossed the line? Or is this a guy who does epitomize the modern sports fan? 503-417-7575.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.